This is Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. Here's a brief recap of our top stories this hour. The assistant director of the World Health Organization says Ebola vaccines may be available within 3 months. A South African judge has sentenced superstar athlete Oscar Pistorius for killing his girlfriend last year at his Pretoria home. And the UN has appealed for more than $930 million to meet Somalia's humanitarian needs. Coming up, music from Burundi. And in our feature segment, we take a look at the grief and anguish experienced by families when hit by the Ebola virus. I'm Yehiz Wuhib, and we're live from Washington. This is Africa News Tonight on the VOA. Sports is next. Time now for the sunny side of sports with the mighty Douglas Mpuga sitting in for Sunny. Hello, Douglas.
Hello, Yehiz.
Douglas, what's going on in the sports world this evening?
Well, Yehiz, we also kick off in South Africa, where South African athlete Oscar Pistorius has been given 5 years in jail for killing his girlfriend, River Steenkamp. Following the sentence, Oscar Pistorius will not be allowed to compete in International Paralympic Committee events for the duration of his 5-year prison sentence. His defense lawyer said his client was expected to serve a 10-month in prison with the rest under a house arrest. But the International Paralympic Committee's rulings means Pistorius misses the 2016 Paralympics in Rio. In September, the International Paralympic Committee had said that it would not block Pistorius, who has won 6 gold medals at 3 Paralympic Games, if he had served his sentence and wanted to compete at Rio. Craig Spence, the Director of Communications for the International Paralympic Committee, is quoted as saying that if IPC rules, regardless of whether Oscar Pistorius is released early or not, it's still a 5-year sentence, so the earliest he would be able to compete, if he wanted to, is 2019. The International Olympic Committee has yet revealed its stance on whether it will allow him to compete at its events again. In football, African players in European leagues had a very good weekend. Now to talk about African goal scorers in Europe, we turn to our African football guru, David Legg. Hello, David.
Yes, Douglas. You know, in the past some weeks, we've had the sort of almost embarrassing situation where we've had no African scorers in Europe. But this week, it's a very different story indeed. The Africans, I'm proud to say, have been banging in the goals. And one person I think we all are very proud of, and a high five from the Voice of America goes to Diafra Sakho. He's the Senegalese player featuring for West Ham United in the English Premier League. He's in amazing form. He has just scored his 6th goal in as many matches. So well done to Diafra. And his goal helped West Ham win 3-1 at Burnley. Wilfred Bonny, now there's a regular name when we talk of scorers. He is, of course, the Ivory Coast star. He plays for Swansea. He converted a penalty, but unfortunately Swansea went down 2-1 to Stoke City. Another Senegalese on target was Mohamed Diami of Hull City. He got an equalizer against Arsenal. Hull then went ahead, and in the end, Arsenal snatched a late 2-2 draw. Perhaps the most amazing result of the weekend was Southampton 8, Sunderland 0. Just short of the record. The record, for those who love those sort of statistics, Manchester United beating Ipswich Town by 9-0 way back when. And among those 8 goals, 2 Africans, Victor Wanyama from Kenya and Sadio Mane, another Senegalese player. So Senegalese, Douglas, really in top form in England at the moment. On to Spain and some more African goal scorers to report. Ikechukwu Uche, the Nigerian who plays for the Spanish La Liga side, Villarreal, he scored both goals in a 2-0 win over Almeria. And it's interesting that of late, Uche has not been finding his way into the Nigeria national team, doesn't get on particularly well with the now former coach, Stephen Keshi. Menucho, the giant Angolan, he scored for Rayo Vallecano, the only goal in a 1-0 victory at Granada, and completing a hat-trick of African scorers, Nordine Amrabat scored for Malaga. He's a Moroccan, and Malaga won 2-1 against Cordoba. On to Italy and Serie A, and Richmond Boyacchi, the Ghanaian, scored for Atalanta, and it proved to be a very precious goal, the only one of the game. Plenty of African goals in France as well. Nicolas Nkoulou of Marseille scored the first of two goals in a 2-0 win over Toulouse. Cheikh Diaba, the prolific Mali striker, he scored for Bordeaux in a 1-1 draw against Cannes. And again, a third African scorer to report, Floyd Ayite, the Togolese player, he scored for Bastia in a 1-0 win over Nice. So well done to all those African goal scorers in Europe at the weekend. Douglas?
Yes, David, turning back now to the continent. In the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, we know Algeria and Cape Verde have qualified. What's your look ahead to the last two rounds?
Well, that's right. If we look, we'll start with Group A, Douglas. And there, South Africa slipped up slightly in that they were held a draw at home by Congo-Brazzaville. But a win at home to Sudan in mid-November, that will see them qualify. And the really intriguing battle here is who's going to follow them. Will it be Congo-Brazzaville or will it be Nigeria? Well, they meet on November the 15th in Pointe Noire, and Nigeria really needing a victory there. Sudan mathematically can still qualify, but it's a real long shot as they've only got 3 points. On to Group B, and as you correctly said, Algeria are through. And although Mali were surprise home losers to Ethiopia, they look set to follow them at the expense of Ethiopia and Malawi. In Group C, it looks pretty clear-cut. Gabon in front with 8 points and Burkina Faso with 7, well ahead of Angola and Lesotho. And if Gabon and Burkina Faso win their remaining home fixture, they will qualify. But it's not so clear-cut in Group D. This is one of the toughest groups. Cameroon have 10 points, DR Congo 6, Ivory Coast only third in the group, also with 6 points, and Sierra Leone out of the running with 1. So all to play for in the final two rounds. I still believe Cameroon and Ivory Coast will make it, but watch out for DR Congo snatching that lone third-place spot. A reminder to all our listeners, top two in each group qualify automatically, and the best of the 7 third-place teams also make it, and that could well be DR Congo. Douglas, I know you hail from Uganda, and I'm afraid it's going to be a real battle for the Cranes to make it now. They lost home and away to Togo, and that really is something they could ill afford. Uganda, of course, a sad story in that the last time they qualified for the finals was way back in 1978 when they did exceptionally well. They reached the final against the host Ghana before losing 2-0. But the log as it stands has Ghana with 8 points, and they look good for a place in the finals. Togo have got 6, Uganda and Guinea with 4 each. Uganda have got Ghana at home, and I suppose there will be confidence in Uganda because they did draw 1-1 away to the Black Stars. But the final match for the Cranes, the one that could be critical, is against Guinea, most likely in Morocco because of the Ebola crisis. In Group F, Cape Verde have qualified. And second place really is going to be a showdown between Zambia and Mozambique. They meet in Maputo in the penultimate round. And the winners of that game will qualify. If it should finish in a draw, the advantage would lie with the Zambians. And then Group G, the group of death. Egypt's 2 victories over Botswana have got them back into contention, but they only lie third at the moment. Tunisia on top with 10 points. Senegal have got 7, Egypt 6, and Botswana 0. Now, what's critical for the Pharaohs is they win their next match, which is at home to Senegal. That would give them a chance of a top two finish or possibly grabbing that third place. So, Douglas, all to play for. And a reminder that the final two rounds will be on November 14 and 15, and then the final games on November the 19th. We know that Morocco have qualified as hosts. We know that Algeria and Cape Verde have qualified. So there are still 13 places up for grabs.
Thanks, David. That's our class African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942.
VOA!
When you hear the VOA identification, press 60. And please include your name and where you are calling from.
Voice of America!
Still in Johannesburg, here is Daybreak Africa's Mark Ouma with more sports news.
Nigeria's Okpekpe 10-kilometer road race has been elevated to an IAAF bronze label road race. The annual event started last year in Edo State, South Nigeria, is the first African race to be elevated to hold an International Association of Athletics Federation IAAF road race label. While Africans have dominated the international road racing circuit for decades, never before has any race on the continent attained the criteria necessary to be granted an IAAF road race label. Breaking the good news, the IAAF competition director Paul Hardy urged the event organizers to maintain the standard of staging the event so as to ensure the event sustains its IAAF road racing label status beyond next year. In Canada, Laban Korir won the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon in 2 hours, 8 minutes and 15 seconds. Ethiopians Tariku Jufar and Shami Abdullahi were second and third respectively. Meanwhile, Ethiopia's Mulu Seboka clocked 2 hours, 23 minutes and 15 seconds to claim the women's title. Alexandra Dubliba of Belarus was runner-up ahead of Kenyan Rael Kiara. In rowing, hosts Algeria amassed 6 gold medals to retain the Africa Rowing Championship.